College. This is 89.7 FM KFJC, Los Altos Hills.
I know that's not him, you understand? Yeah, but you still gotta put you your lick there, brother. Say, brother, I wanna get into your personal affairs and things, but I would like to ask you something. And by the way, we're recording now, you understand? This is live in the parlor, volume 3. Volume 3, so holler loud and, you understand, say I'm in it. Let yourself be heard. So say it one more time, brother, look here. Now you tell me, where you was born and raised?
Lake Range.
Where, brother?
Lake Range.
Lake Range? Lake Range where, brother?
Lake Range, North Carolina.
Yeah! Lake Grange, North Carolina! Yeah! Take another bow, brother! Brother bow, Lake Grange, North Carolina! Don't be so mean! But brother, the next time would you kindly be careful and don't lay so deep in your grange? Okay? Brother Mark, give him another big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah! Yes, sir. Backstage laughing. When I said lay in your grange, I didn't say graves in the grass. I said lay in your grange. You're a funny cat, man. I said, Fred, this is our music and band director. Sure got a strange horn there, brother. I like it, though. Black horn. What's the significance behind it, Jack?
Black and proud.
Right on. Right on. What you say? That's the name of the biz on. Boom. But say one thing, brother. If you got a name for it, because I know B.B. King named it Guitar Lucille, what's your name, your horn?
I call it the Soul Sister.
Only thing I got to disagree with, y'all, mine look different than the hot pants, baby. Yeah. But I know it's together. Look in here, because I want everybody to feel funky. Now, let me tell you something. You're going to get Sex Machine. All the shows coming. You're going to get Sex Machine. And if that don't do it, you're going to give it some more sex.
Yeah.
And if you don't get enough then, and we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what you're doing. You don't get enough, see him later.
Yeah.
That right?
That's what you do, see him later.
Look. Look at him. There's a whole lot of things you got to see later. I don't know how late, but you see it. And we're going to give you a Super Bad, Get In Bob, Soul Power. Well, if your pants are hot, we're going to make them hot before you leave, so don't worry about that. We're going to make them hot. Now, brother, since everybody's in the groove and the funk and feeling good, we want to keep it kind of clapping the hands, stomping the feet and things. Look at him. Strike out the horn and get down a little bit. Make sure you get down. It's all right. Right about now, hit me. Get it.
The show is Sports Middle. I'm Gus Lignus with Kevin Adante. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Hey, not bad. How about you?
I'm a little frazzled, I must say. It's been a very busy couple of days. Been scrambling, running around, entertaining a CEO and a CFO, going to customers, partners, sleeping over a friend's house. I don't have to drive up back to San Francisco and sleeping in people's couches and beds. And I'm pretty exhausted, working out of the car, doing calls from the car, trying to find something to eat at 2:30, a really late lunch, and then discovering a new place that wasn't really that good, and then coming to Foothill College to get an internet connection, but couldn't get one, but luckily Captain Jack had one here at the station, so I was able to get some work done, and now I'm on the air with you, so let's make it funky.
Was that the song we just had on? Because I can hear you, but I have not been able to hear James Brown in the last few weeks for whatever reasons.
I don't know. Yes, it was Make It Funky from Revolution of the Mind.
I always remember our late friend Jack Diamond. I was, he always used that little, I don't know, bird, but whatever it is, it's got to be funky, is sort of a little stinger in between songs. What was the name of the show? The House of Games.
What's House of Games?
That was Jack Diamond's show on KFJC.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that.
DJ!
I remember him. But
he started at the station around the same time you did, Gus, about late 80s, early 90s. And unfortunately, we lost him about a dozen years ago. Guy I knew in Palo Alto for years under his birth name. Some people, you know, go by different names on the air. I wonder why they do that than they do the rest of the time. But yeah, good guy. I miss him a lot.
Yep. Now I remember. You always had cool shirts.
Yeah.
So I got to just, let's see, before we get into the sports, and we got baseball, we got the NBA playoffs now starting to heat up, even though it's weird not having the Warriors in there. I guess I'm not really following it, but a lot of talk about the NFL draft and a bunch of quarterbacks, and if you've been following it, then fine, we can talk about that. Sharks made a move today. But I will tell you that I'm getting fired up for this weekend because John Schofield is in town and Lettuce is in town. And John Schofield is playing with Lettuce for a bunch of nights at the SF Jazz Center this weekend. And once again, I forgot to cancel two of my seats for Saturday night. I'm going to go to the late show, but not the 7 o'clock show. So if you're lucky, you can call tomorrow after I return my two tickets and get two tickets to see Lettuce at the SF Jazz Center. Anyway, so I'm fired up to see that. And my band is playing at the Park Chalet by Ocean Beach in the back patio from 2 to 5 on Saturday. The Soul Miners, R&B Soul Funk covers. Come on out. Nice. Support your favorite, your second favorite, your tied for first favorite sports co-host this Saturday at the Park Chalet. So I'm pretty psyched about that. First time we're playing there in years. We used to play there before COVID hit, and we're back. So I'm totally psyched. It's a really, really fun place to play. Saturday, 2 to 5. All right, so Kevin. Man, what have you been up to?
Well, still waiting. Still in this weird little, just basically sends really good vibes for my truck to last another week because I'm housing for my sister, and I think I've told you, my truck, I finally have decided in the last couple of weeks, it's time to replace it because, you know, it's just not worth putting any more money in, especially with registration and smog coming. The check engine light has been coming back on. It's sputtering, but I can't start looking right now because my sister's going out of town and I'm house sitting, and which I normally am looking forward to, which I'm still am looking forward to because it's a great place where I do the show from. There's a big screen TV and everything, so let's just, it just kind of preoccupied things, but you know, it's one of these, as you have said before during COVID and everything, one of these this too shall pass sort of thing, as is just the fact it's been kind of, aside from an absolutely beautiful Sunday afternoon, it's been kind of gloomy weather, which we're all getting a little sick of, because even last year, for God's sake, with all the flooding and everything, I mean, by this time last year, I was camping, I was taking great hikes and everything, so it's just been kind of a malaise, shall we say. I wish I could say, but, you know, we got tons of greats. Despite no Warriors and despite our two local baseball teams kind of, as I said, would use the word again, sputtering to start the season, we got tons of great stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we do. I don't know how much of a postmortem you want to do, and it almost feels literally, but the Sharks fired head coach David Quinn.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, that happened today, and yeah, this was just an abysmal season. I forget they might have had the worst record in the NHL. Did they? I didn't look, but it was definitely down there. You don't know.
I could check that out, but you know, it just I'm so especially because we haven't had Greg on for a while. I'm just so removed from hockey these days. I mean, I had to, just to prep for the show, I had to see who the matchups were. The other postmortem we have to talk about is the. I can't even remember whether they were officially called the Phoenix or the Arizona Coyotes, but the Coyotes are moving to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I guess it's the owner of the Jazz is going to be the owner of, what are they going to be called, the Utah Coyotes?
No, they're going to change their name. They may take a temporary name. Oh, and in addition to everything else, my allergies are killing me, so if I have to lean away and cough, that's my other gripe for tonight. But, no, they're going to change the name, and they may take a temporary name. They say they don't want to rush into it, whatever that means.
So we have the Utah Jazz. I don't know how much jazz there is in Utah, but the few times I've been there, I didn't stumble upon much jazz, I have to say.
Well, it just, you know, it's kind of quirky because obviously the reason they have that name, if that's two teams, well, actually, that's two teams that, you know, that had a geographical name and they moved and it doesn't make any sense anymore. But in the other team, that maybe it's worked even better in some ways is Lakers, because, you know, Lakers, L.A. I mean, they move from Minnesota, the land of a thousand lakes. There aren't any lakes in Los Angeles, but Lakers, L.A. Lakers, it's got a nice ring to it. Utah Jazz moved from New Orleans, and, you know, it doesn't have a nice ring to it, and there's not much jazz. I've heard that Utah is actually kind of a hip city in its way, but, You know, you would not think of it as a jazz mecca or anything like that, but it worked. The other one we got to mention, though, is the one team in the NBA that their name became much more appropriate when they moved, and that's the San Diego Rockets, because they moved to Houston, of course. Houston, Astros, Space Center, all that.
So, yeah, that was, I don't know, that one was kind of like dumb luck. I don't know. And then there's the whole Baltimore Ravens, Baltimore Colts, Indianapolis Colts. Now, right? And now let's try and
another one you could throw in there is how many Grizzlies are there in Memphis? While in Vancouver, there's probably, I mean, not in downtown Vancouver, but in British Columbia, there's still Grizzly Bears. So there's another one.
Yeah, I guess. But then there's teams where it doesn't really matter, like the Giants, right? New York Giants, San Francisco Giants, fine, right? That works wherever it is, right? Yeah. But yeah, I was the Lakers is just one of those ones where you're just like, they're the Lakers, an iconic team, so you don't even think about it. Anyway, so they're gonna change their name, okay? And the whole Colts Ravens thing, that one always, it's a little confusing when you think about team records. Right, and even with the Warriors, right? Philadelphia Warriors. Wilt Chamberlain has records for when it was the Philadelphia Warriors, right?
Well, that's one of those things that happened. I can't remember when it really started. I think it actually did start with the Cleveland Browns, because that was one of the things because when the Colts moved to Indianapolis, they stayed the Colts, and all the records stayed the same. So Peyton Manning and John Unitas are both in the same record book. Excuse me, I got a cough again. Filibuster for just a sec.
can I turn him down while he's hacking? How about that? Anyway, oh my goodness. Yeah, I don't know. The cult one always confused me.
Allergy cost. But then when Cleveland moved, one good thing they were able to out of it, they got to keep the team name, and the Ravens were considered the new franchise. So the current Cleveland, who's Cleveland quarterback? I don't know that they had a good season last year. I can't even think of it. He will go up against Otto Graham or whoever, or Brian Sipe, while the Ravens record started when they moved, like in 96 or whatever. So it's just, I still consider the Ravens the same as the old Cleveland Browns going back to the All-American Conference myself. I think that's a lot of, you know, keeping the franchise name. I know the Earthquakes did it when they moved to Houston in soccer. I know the A's somehow want to keep it. That's not going to happen. We obviously know that. But I think, yeah, just, you know, it's still the same franchise. Keep the same records. Change the name, but keep the same records.
You know, another one where the name is more befitting of the city, like the Rockets, is the Colts. When you think about Baltimore Colts, I don't think about horses in Baltimore, but you do think about horses in Indiana, right?
Not necessarily any more than.
No?
I don't know.
I don't know. Farmland, like Midwest.
Indianapolis.
I mean, how far away is Indianapolis? Is Indiana from Kentucky? I don't know. Maybe it's really far, right? Can we bust out a map? I don't know.
We got to get a map out. I know Ohio and Kentucky, you know, they have a long border.
Anyway.
Cincinnati. I mean, come on, across from Kentucky, from Lexington, I think, or Louisville.
I don't know. I'm sure if we polled our listening audience, they would say that I would associate Colts more with Indiana than with Maryland. And there. You have it.
Interesting.
Kevin with a All right. So have you been watching any? Oh, we got to do an RIP. Sad to say.
Yeah, we got to do an RIP. And, you know, I don't really have much on the draft, but there is one guy, you know, the major sports figure on the West Coast from my childhood who passed on. And that's Roman Gabriel.
Yeah, I remember him with the Rams, the blue and white Rams. I don't really recall him much with the other teams he was on, but you got to talk more about him because, you know, I grew up in the East Coast and we didn't see the Rams as much as you did. But, you know, I knew him as a good quarterback, right? He was one of the better guys in the league for quite some time, and he had a long career. It was like 16 years, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, he went to NC State. And for one thing, you know, it's also we should always mention is that he was a pioneer. He was like one of the first Filipino-American who became a major, you know, a star athlete in one of the major sports. And he went to NC State, and he was actually drafted first by the Raiders back in the AFL days, but he drafted second by the Rams, and he ended up playing for the Rams for about a decade. And I just got to say, I mean, this is somebody who's back in those days of, you know, it was the home playoffs, all the home playoffs, even if they were, I mean, excuse me, not the home playoffs, all the home games, even if they were sold out or blacked out on TV. But all the times that I saw on the old, I remember the old black and white TV in the living room, which was there for decades, just seeing him, he was your classic game manager, which is now sometimes, you know, the sort of the Alex Smith, sort of almost considered like a put down. But I mean that in the most positive sense, in that it was just that seeing him march down the field so many times on that old black and white TV, and one time in person, the one game I went to at Kezar Stadium in 1967, Niners
win. Here it comes.
Just, which I've talked about many times, seeing JT Snow's dad get cold cocked, Jack Snow. But it was just, you knew what was coming. It was almost like, it was amazing, the fact they shared the stadium with USC. It was almost like student body left, student body right. It was a short yardage. They didn't have any great running backs. The receivers were Snow and Bernie Casey, but they always got it done, especially against the Niners for years and years. They just generally could not get breakthrough, and they never made it to the Super Bowl. It was the Green Bay teams, and then it was Unitas or Earl Morrill and the Colts, who were in the same old Coastal Division, and then it was Minnesota. But the one thing I did not realize was in 1969, which I think of as the year of the Vikings and Joe Capp going to the Super Bowl and losing to KC, he was the MVP that year. And then he had a number of good years after that with Philadelphia.
And he had a cool name, Roman Gabriel, right? He like hit, you know, the ancient, you know, times in with the, you know, the Romans, and then Gabriel, you know, what, I guess a religious thing. I don't know. It's got a ring to it, that whole Roman Gabriel.
No, it's one of those classy names. And he did get some, you know, living in L.A. I mean, he got some extracurricular activities, two movie appearances, both. One of them I've seen. I've never seen Skidoo, which was an Otto Preminger kind of like cult movie, which was Groucho Marx's last movie, is what I know most about it. But I have seen The Undefeated with John Wayne and Rock Hudson. Good, it's a good John Wayne movie. And he had appearances. I think he was a sheriff in that one.
Nice. Yeah, I was just...
As well as, of course, appearing on a million game shows and things like that. So, rest in peace, Roman Gabriel. He seemed like a good guy.
Cool. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned John Wayne. I just flew in and out of John Wayne Airport. Well, actually, I flew out of John Wayne Airport. And then the hotel I was staying at in Irvine, or actually Santa Ana, had this really cool art piece of John Wayne. And I was trying to explain to my 18-year-old son who John Wayne was. So I guess if you're 18, you probably wouldn't know who John Wayne was. But we went to visit colleges. And we visited UC Irvine and UC San Diego. And I, of course, knew UC Irvine was a D1 school, but I wasn't sure about UC San Diego, so I looked it up. Irvine finished first in the Big West in basketball this past season, followed by UC San Diego.
Yeah, they were... They moved in because they were D2 back when I lived up in Arcata, you know, a dozen, 15 years ago, because they were in the same division, I think, as Humboldt State. I remember seeing them in basketball a few times. But they have been making the transition. They played really well in, I mean, obviously everybody beat Cal Poly this last year, but they've really improved in the last couple of years, but they were not eligible for the conference championship tournament or obviously for the Big Dance, which they would not have been picked for anyhow.
So, Kevin,
but, yeah,
I don't...
They are becoming Division 1.
Yeah, they were 15-5 behind Irvine, which was 17-3. I'm going to...
Tritons.
Oh, you beat me to it. I was going to quiz you on what are the mascots of each of the teams. I'm going to go through the list, okay? So, UC Irvine.
The Anteaters.
San Diego, the Tritons.
Tritons.
UC Davis.
Aggies.
Yep. Hawaii.
One year, San Jose State played four different Aggies.
Wow. Okay, well, Hawaii... was the next team.
Well, they've changed because, you know, June Jones wanted to get Rainbow out of there because he was a jerk. But I think of them as the Rainbow Warriors.
That's what... Are they no longer the Rainbow Warriors? That's
they were for a while. June Jones, you know, because...
So what are they now? They're just the Warriors?
You know, and he was a jerk.
They're just the Warriors?
Yep.
So what are they?
Hmm?
So they're not the Rainbow Warriors?
I don't know. I know for a while he got...
I got that. But, okay, but you don't know what
the
they
Warriors,
are.
But hopefully they're back to being the Rainbow Warriors.
Okay. Long Beach State?
Why are they...
Aren't they the 49ers?
The Niners, but they're generally just known as the Beach these days. Whether they actually changed their name or not, I'm not sure.
Okay, and I don't know all these. UC Riverside?
Riverside, Hilltoppers.
Nice. UC Santa Barbara, like Gauchos?
I did, by my crack staff, Lizzie and Campbell, told me they are still officially in the war room at Campbell. Let me know they are back to being officially the Rainbow Warriors.
Oh, okay. Santa Barbara, right? Gauchos, right?
Gauchos, yeah.
Cal State must be Northridge. UN, right?
Oh yeah, the Matadors, CSUN. They're not. Nobody ever. They just see it. California State University at Northridge. See, everybody calls them CSUN. Yeah, the Matadors. I saw one of their last football games against Cal Poly about 20 years ago.
And then Cal State Bakersfield.
Bakersfield Roadrunners.
Yep. And then Cal State Fullerton.
Cal State Fullerton is the Titans.
And Cal Poly, which did not win a game.
Of course, the Mustangs. By the way, that brings up another Cal Poly, and that is Roman Gabriel. After he retired from playing, he coached Cal Poly Pomona for a while. And he, in fact, I have no idea what Cal Poly Pomona's nickname was, but or it still is in other sports. But he coached them in their last years in football in the early '80s. And I just heard something today, and I don't know if I don't ever remember it hearing of it. From when I lived up there, but there is also a Cal Poly Humboldt. There were some demonstrations today up at Cal Poly Humboldt in Arcata. I don't know. I assume it's part, you know, near the campus of Humboldt State, but apparently it's a different college.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. What do you know about Cal State? What do you know about Cal State Pomona?
Very little. You know, it's kind of, they've had some good baseball teams. And it's, you know, I briefly went to one of the Claremont colleges. I went to Pitzer, which, you know, the sort of the Ivy League West colleges down there, not to brag too much, especially because I only stayed there for a semester. But everybody at the Claremont colleges, the other ones being Pomona, CMC, Scripps, and Harvey Mudd, looked down on Cal Poly, on Cal Poly Pomona. And everybody at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo looks down on Cal Poly Pomona. It may be a fine school, but that's just my association with it.
Okay. That's another one that my son got accepted to, so he didn't sound like he's high on the list. He wants to go to Santa Barbara, so we'll see. He's on the wait list. We'll just have to. He's got to wait it out, man. And
the only time I remember going into the city of Pomona when I was living in Claremont, attending school down there. Claremont, by the way, had and still has one of the great indie record stores of all time, Rhino Records, which of course later became a label and everything like that. It's still there. At least it was last I checked, not that long ago, but. The closest warehouse where you could get records the day they came out, pretty much. Rhino always took a couple of... back then, it took them a while to get, you know, every record in there. Closest warehouse was in Pomona, and I had to go get the new band album, Northern Lights, Southern Cross, when it came out. So I bummed a ride to the warehouse in Pomona. That's the only time I remember being in the city of Pomona.
Yeah, I know. I looked it up where it is, inland, but I don't know too much about it. All right, so we got some baseball to talk about. We got plenty of NBA playoffs to talk about. You got anything else on your list?
Well, yeah, we mentioned, I don't know if you want to go down, again, the hockey. I mean, maybe we should start, we're almost halfway there. We want to talk a little baseball and obviously a lot of hockey. So I don't know if you really wanted to talk about a lot of basketball. I don't know if you wanted to talk about the hockey playoffs.
No, I haven't. I'm not really dialed into it, so I don't have much.
I mean, I've got the stats, so I could we could run them off.
Well, let's go through who's playing who. Let's at least do that much.
So, okay. We've got Carolina up 2-0 on the Islanders. The Maple Leafs and the Boston are 1-1. They're playing right now. I'll try and get a score on that. Florida, the interstate Florida rivalry. The Panthers are up 2-0 on the Tampa Bay, and your Rangers up 2-0 on the Caps in the Western Conference. Obviously, the Sharks not involved. Colorado and the Jets are 1-1. Nashville and Vancouver 1-1. Vegas is up 1-0 over Dallas. They are also playing tonight, and Edmonton 1-0 over the Kings. There you have it.
All right. All right, all right.
So who's going to win it all? Your Rangers?
I
By the way,
I can't
I looked
venture
it up, Cal Poly Pomona, they're the Broncos.
Yet more Broncos. All right.
More Broncos.
Yeah, I don't know, Kevin. I can't tell you. I didn't look. I haven't followed who's done what this year in hockey, so
I'm lame. I'll say the Winnipeg Jets. I always liked the Jets because back before we had Sharks, when they were exhibition games, the Winnipeg Jets would always be like at the Cal Palace or the Coliseum. The Winnipeg Jets would always be the designated home team. Usually, they would usually play the Kings just because everybody would root for whoever is playing against an LA team.
Well, what are the Islanders seeded and what are the Rangers seeded?
That I got to look up. I couldn't tell you.
Oh,
I have it. I have it on my trusty iPhone.
Well, I'm glad your iPhone is trusty. So I say the word trusty. You know what comes to mind? Rusty Staub and Dave Justy. Words
that's
that rhyme.
Good one. Rhyme time, man.
I don't rhyme time. The words, you know, names that rhyme with trusty.
Yeah, you're the guy who kind of disparages lyrics, and you used to come on. And I wish you'd do it again with all these great poems about the NBA playoffs. Come on, bring rhyme time back.
I forgot about rhyme time. All right, I'm gonna. Ooh, today would not be the day. My brain is my brain is down. I refrain from taxing my brain. Okay. Giants and Mets.
I'm sorry, I don't have the seedings. I have the schedule, but not the seedings. I can look it up, though.
That's all right. That's all right. All right, so how much Oakland Athletic baseball have you been watching?
None. I'm paying attention to the Giants. I think I caught 2 minutes of one game. You know, they're on the Sacramento station when, like, nothing else is on. Of course, now the Kings not being in the playoffs, they'll probably be on more. I check their scores every day, and that's it. I mean, I could name five guys on the team. They're just not. They beat the Yankees 2-0 the other day. They lost last night, and they're behind right now. If the game's not over, they may have lost already. So, I mean, they beat the Yanks. That's good. But they're just too depressing for me to think about too much. If I happen to hear them on the radio, I still love Ken and Vince so much, I'll listen to them. But I can't follow them.
Yeah, since we were on the air last week, speaking of the Yankees, the Orioles have made a run and have caught the Yankees. They picked up three games on them. So now both teams in the American League East are tied at 16-8. And the Red Sox, Blue Jays trailing them. And the Guardians with a pretty nice start at 17-7 in the American League Central. And in the West, yeah, the A's have fallen, right? I think they were 8-11 last week when we were on there. Now they're 9-15. You know, so it hasn't been too good for them. But what's really surprising is the Astros. The Astros are bringing up the rear in the American League West at 7-17. What's going on there, man?
I know. That was a shocker. I guess Dusty did some things right.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, the Mariners, of all things, 12-11. All right. But the A's, all right, you got nothing on the A's, fine. And in the National League East, oh, imagine that. The Atlanta Braves in first place, followed by the Phillies, and then the Mets. Mets 4 games back at 13-11, and the Mets came to San Francisco. And today they salvaged the last of a 3-game set. The Giants beat them on Monday 5-2. Then they beat the Mets 5-1 yesterday, and I think Lee had his first home run in one of those two games.
You're right, I did catch that.
And Conforto hit a home run against.
I mean, the main major news for the Giants, and hopefully it will, you know, be a positive thing, because considering he's been useless on the mound, is that Blake Snell went on the, well, I don't think it's called the DL anymore, injured list or whatever. If it is a physical thing, hopefully he'll be taken care of and he'll be more effective. So they had a game, I mean, that happened just before game time. It was kind of a lost cause because they just had to throw a bullpen game together, and the Mets got hot. They won, I think, 8-1, 8-2, something like that.
Yeah, today the Mets won day game 8-2. And like I was saying, I think it was might have been Monday. Yeah, Conforto against his old team hit a homer for the Giants. You mentioned Snell. So in the game last Friday, the Diamondbacks beat the Giants. You ready for this? 17-1, and that was Blake Snell's third start for the Giants. So he's 0-3 with like an 11.5 earned run average or something like that. So an inauspicious start, but it sounds like something's wrong. Like they put him on the injured list, so they got to figure that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Diamondback series, they split that one, four-game set. They won 2 out of 3 from the Giants. And before that, it was the Marlins, and the Giants took 2 out of 3 there. Before that, it was they were on the road, right, where they lost 2 out of 3 to the Rays. And then against the Nationals prior to that, they lost 2 out of 3, and yeah, so you know, they've kind of been trying to right the ship a little bit. You know, they're hanging in there.
Well, they are. They're hanging in there, and you know, they are playing somewhat better. I mean, in the last week, at least they have a record over .500, splitting with the D-backs and winning the series against the Mets. But they're also being helped out, and they were helped by the Mets too. Took care of the Dodgers. Is that nobody's playing that well in that division, including the multi-million-dollar Dodgers and everything. They're only 2.5 games out. I mean, it's going to be hard for them to really compete. I mean, I don't think anybody in their right mind thinks they have a chance at winning that division. But there are wild cards. But you know, you could say they just got to, they got to put up the points. They got the pitching, despite no Snell, and it'll be a while before Robbie Ray comes back. But, I mean, the starting pitching, Webb, was it last night or the night before? Webb just added one of your classic Webb games and everything like that. And what the other guys, too, Jordan Hicks has been playing okay, Keenan, whatever his name is. The pitching's where it all starts, so we'll see how it goes. The bats got to wake up.
Yeah, Harrison, Witt.
Harrison, that's the guy's name I forgot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I saw Chapman had a couple RBIs in one of the recent games. I don't know if he's starting to come around or not, because he had been slumping, but they certainly need production out of him. Okay. Yeah, Dodgers.
One other guy we should mention, the next Giant, even though the Pirates are not in first place anymore, they're only 2 games out. Everybody's really bunched up in the National League Central. Is Andrew McCutchen having a great year? I mean, obviously, we associate him more with the Pirates because he had all the great years there, and now he's back there. But I always did like him during that year and a half he was with the Giants, and happy to see him. I think he had home runs in 3 consecutive games. He just set the record, 100th home run in PNC Park. Obviously, the record for home runs in the Pirates Park since they moved out of Three Rivers about 20 years ago. So glad to see him still hanging in there.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, how old is he? My God.
37.
I was gonna guess 38, but I've been around a long time. Okay. Yeah, so just to round that out in the West, the Dodgers 14-11, Padres 13-13, the D-backs and the Giants at 12-14, and the Rockies pretty far back at 6-18. All right. A little early, I think, in the season to start predicting who are going to be the dominant players in baseball, but we're starting to see some of the teams that look to be, quote-unquote, the teams to beat. In particular, it looks like the Braves continue to do what they do, and the Yankees and the Guardians. The show is Sports Middle. I'm Gus Lignos, alongside Kevin O'Dante, over the airwaves, that is. All right, man. You ready for some NBA?
Before we get into the playoffs.
What do you got? What do you got?
Maybe do a little wrap up on and we already talked about the Warriors' demise last week, a little wrap up on some of the play-in games that happened after the show. I have not heard, especially in the NFL, when the regular season ends, you always have what they call Black Monday, when all the coaches get fired. I haven't heard of any significant coaching changes. Have I missed out? Or did they all happen during the season?
You're talking about the NBA coaching?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not. Nothing jumps to mind, but.
Okay. Well, we got some interesting playoffs here. Let's just put it that way. I've tried to, if not in real time, at least, in the next morning, watch something of just about every series. And after, what was it? the first 3 days of the playoffs, the home team won in every game, 11-0, and now we're seeing some very competitive series, and some of them might be surprising that they're going to be competitive. So where do we want to start?
I want to talk about this Mavericks-Clippers series. So I was watching the game last night, and I've been watching more of the West than the East. But one thing that struck me, there are six future Hall of Famers playing in that series.
Yeah.
And they combined for 47 All-Star appearances. So the Clippers have Paul George, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that's some serious Hall of Fame credentials. And then the Mavericks have Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. I mean, I guess you could say that back in the day with the Lakers and the Celtics, but modern day, right? I don't recall seeing like six Hall of Famers. Although I guess you could say the Warriors.
The right? Warriors, when they had Cousins, I think they had, you know.
Whoa!
I'm thinking All-Stars. Cousins is a Hall of Fame, but I mean the Warriors. You know, Andre's borderline, so you got four, and I think Draymond Steph and Clay are obvious. You know, probably in some of the series they were in against, you know, LeBron. Who else on Cleveland might be Hall of Fame? LeBron, obviously. I don't know if anybody else from the Kyrie.
In that series it was Kyrie and LeBron, yeah. And they did three from the Warriors. I'm sure it's happened, but it just seemed like wow. The in particular, the Clippers, and
that was a game that. Until just a few minutes ago was, I think, the most shocking result, because I thought that was going to be a good series, but I just figured, especially after the Clippers just won so handily without Kawhi in Game 1 at home, that with him in Game 2, it would be another blowout against, you know, what I got. I don't want to disrespect the other guys on the Mavericks, but, you know, it's kind of Kyrie and Luka and, you know, the whatever other three dwarves are out there right now. But I guess I don't respect those guys, or I just don't know them well enough.
Yeah.
Or is it simply the old cliche, well, it's the Clippers. It's because they're the Clippers. That's why they lost.
Well, there's that, but no. You're right. They're not household names. P.J. Washington, Ford, 35 minutes, 18.6 rebounds. Remember, that's the guy that played at Kentucky. And he's good around the rim. He's got a good mid-range floater game. Derek Jones, a forward, 32 minutes. He's just kind of a do-a-little-bit-everything kind of guy. But it's really Doncic and Kyrie, and Doncic in particular, another 30, you know, almost triple-double kind of game, 32 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Kyrie, 23 points. They both played heavy minutes, but Maxi Kleber, Derek Lively, the second-year guy out of Duke. Remember, he was the pogo stick, shot-blocking, rebounding kind of guy. Very athletic. And Tim Hardaway Jr. got injured. So normally he's going to get heavy minutes. But they won without him. He got injured fairly early on in the game. And it wasn't like they played great. That was an ugly game. I watched that game. It was just... There was no flow to it. The refs let them play. They were clubbing each other. And it was a grind-out kind of win for Dallas, and give them credit. They just kind of hung in there. And at the end of the game, it was Doncic who made a couple of big plays. For the Clippers, you know, I would say that they stuck pretty heavily with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, Zubac, the center, Harden. Those guys all played at least 33 minutes plus. And then it's Terrence Mann, Norman Powell, and Westbrook. Powell made a big three, but it wasn't enough. The crowd was there, but the series is now tied at 1. So the proverbial Dallas steals one.
Right.
In L.A. I don't know.
I still think the Clippers will win this series. I don't think they're going to be in the conference finals or anything. But I can't see them not winning this series, despite last night.
It's funny you say that, because I was just about to say the same thing. Even though they're going back to Dallas, and if Dallas holds home court, they go up 3-1. But I think they'll split in Dallas, and the Clippers end up winning this series. All right. I know the game you were about to talk about in the East, and we'll get back to the West. But the Celtics, who took care of Miami with no trouble in game one, they lost today by 10 and no Jimmy Butler.
Right.
How do you explain that one?
This one just completely flummoxed me. I still think, you know, obviously they had one of the great series in NBA history in the conference finals last year, but that was with Jimmy Butler, and that was with the but they without Tyler Hero. Who was a hero today? Hero. I mean, yeah, him and Adebayo led it. Caleb Martin had a great game. Hawkins had his moments in there. They were just on it, and the Celtics just didn't seem in sync all the way. You kept expecting them to make, they were going to make their move and get it together, and they just never really did. And this was a shocker. I mean, I still think the Celtics are obviously, to me, it's like there's still only two teams that can win the championship, and the Celtics are one of them, and I don't see them losing the series. But now it's going to be much more interesting, because obviously this is a team that can get under their skin, the team that kind of stole the conference championship from them last year. And, you win a game like that, you know, they got to be looking over their shoulder right now. I say Celtics in six. I mean, Miami's definitely going to win one more.
Yeah, and it's not like the Celtics didn't shoot well. They shot 46% from the floor, hit 37.5% of their threes. It's hard to put your finger on what the difference in this game was, because the stats are they were pretty even. Points in the paint, the Celtics crushed them, 46-26. I think it was a 3-point shooting which was the difference, where the Heat shot 53%. And the Celtics 38%. So that's probably the difference.
Jaylen Brown had 33. Tatum had 28. Derek White had 13. But then you sort of, you know, not many other people. The bench really didn't do much. Drew Holiday didn't have a great game. So that had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it looks like Porzingis didn't do too much.
No.
All right, so I always like the Heat for some reason, but yeah, I agree with you. Celtics, I can't imagine them not advancing. The other really compelling one in the East are the Knicks and the Sixers. And that game two at the Garden was huge, where the Sixers had the lead. They were up by 5 with like 30 seconds left or something like that. And the Knicks ended up stealing that one, if you will. There was a big 3, and the Sixers are complaining that there wasn't a foul call. There was a turnover. And Brunson hit a 3. It was one of those ones, hit the front rim and just bounced straight up like 10 feet and then fell through. And then on the inbounds pass, the Sixers had trouble inbounding the ball. Mike Nurse was calling for a timeout on the sideline.
Nick Nurse.
What did I call him? Mike Nurse?
Mike.
Sorry. I don't know where that came from. Nick Nurse calling a timeout. He said he made, in his mind, he had eye contact with the ref, didn't give him the timeout. It was an awkward inbound. The guy tripped. I think it was Maxey, fell down. The Knicks ended up with the ball. It went out to DiVincenzo. He took a 3. He missed it. They got the offensive rebound. It got kicked back to DiVincenzo. He hit that 3, gave them the lead with about 12 seconds left, and then the Sixers were not able to score on the final possession, and the Knicks took the second to go up 2-0, and the crowd was crazy loud. I mean, playoff basketball is back in New York, and the fans are loving it. And in the post game, and my brother was telling me, and he's watching these Knicks games now in New York, and he loves it because he got to watch it with the local broadcast crew.
Oh, cool.
Like, how? It's funny because.
Is Walt Frazier still doing it?
I think so. Unless he's a radio guy. You know, I don't even know.
Because Keith Hernandez is still doing Mets games, because they had the Mets Giants game on MLB today with the Mets announcers. When they're not doing just for men commercials, I guess they still broadcast.
By the way, did I send you that little clip where it was Gary Cohn doing the Met game against the Giants, and it was on 420, right, Marijuana Day? And
I missed that.
And the Met pitcher's last name was Stone. So Gary Cohn goes, and appropriate for April 20th on the mound, the guy's last name is Stone. And then they made some stupid plug about munchies or something. Anyway, but I give him credit for trying. All right, we digress. But back to the guard.
They didn't play any tall. Okay.
All right, I'm trying to get the connection. Where's the Jethro Tull
connection? I always think of Jethro as the ultimate pothead music is Tull. Back in those days when I actually enjoyed
more. Wait. More than
the
Pink.
The only time I ever enjoyed listening to Tull was when I was baked. That's all. The time they were born.
More than Pink Floyd? Come on.
No, I love Pink Floyd. I like Pink Floyd more when I first was a Floyd head. It was before I ever smoked a joint, and I did not like them anymore once I did. Especially Echoes. I was, Echoes Stone's going to be even better. No, it wasn't. It was great. One of the greatest recordings of all time, under best enjoyed under a clear head.
Oh, interesting. I go either way on that. But by the way, the best recording of Echoes is still the Live at Pompeii.
That is a really good one.
Yeah. All right, we digress. All right, so Knicks up 2-0. I saw Joel.
Don't forget the other guy who played so great in both Knicks wins was Josh Hart.
Yeah, and big defensive plays by the big German center. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not Gunderson, but it's something, some long German name. And he had a great recovery block. I think it was might have been the last possession, right, after the three by DiVincenzo. And some might – they're doing this without Julius Randle.
Hartenstein,
thank you. There you go. And – some might argue the Knicks are better off playing without Randle.
I wouldn't go that far. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I think this one's going to go 7, and I think the Sixers might win. Might. I think I'm just right now all I can predict is this is going to be a great series. The Philly's definitely going to win. I think they're definitely going to win the next game, which I think is tomorrow. And this is a great series because Embiid is looking better and better as he gets back, and Maxey can turn it on. This is going to be this already is a great series. Philly could have won either game, and I'm going to say Philly in 7.
Okay, I'm going to take the Knicks in 7. I think this. It's tough to come back, and this parallels the Lakers series.
Well, yeah, I mean, you talk about heartbreak. You know, not that I'm a Laker. Not that I'm a big Laker fan, but obviously living here on the Central Coast, you get your mixture of them. I have a lot of friends, and I felt bad for them in that in both those games, but especially even more in terms of heartbreak, the Tuesday night game. Did the Lakers? I mean, did the Nuggets ever lead in that game until the last second? I know they tied it a couple of times late, but unless it was like real early on, I don't think they ever led till Murray made that amazing shot at the end.
You know, I don't know, but the Lakers were up 20, and the Nuggets were just starting to chip away, and the crowd was starting to feel it, and you had that feeling, and there was a stretch where Jokic didn't do anything; he hadn't scored for like over a quarter or something like that, and AD was having a monster game for the Lakers. I think at one point he was 13 for 14 from the floor, and then the Lakers went cold, and they, I don't know how many shots in a row they missed, and then it became this big run, and the game switched, and the next thing you know, it was tied up, and then Jamal Murray, who I forget what his shooting stats for the game were, but they were pretty abysmal. You know, like, I don't know, 5 for 18 or something like that, right, plus or minus. But he did that classic step back, and AD was on him. That was good defense. And Anthony Davis is a great defender. He's got the reach and the length and the athleticism, and he jumped out at him. But that's – okay, there's two other guys that – I'm going to say Damian Lillard is the closest thing to Steph Curry. And then I'm going to say,
get away from that series, though. I got to say, unlike the Philly series, you know, where I think Philly will be inspired by coming so close to losing to winning both those games in New York, and then they will play a competitive series. I think the Lakers are done. I don't think they're going to take any. I think that loss was so crushing. I think they're, I don't think they're going to take anything from the fact they could have stolen either of those games in Denver. And I think they will, at most, they're going to win one game. I think the LeBron and AD. Well, AD had his moment already. I think LeBron's going to will them to win one game, but I don't think they're. And another guy, you don't think of the bench on even though Brown or both. Browns had good moments last year, but you don't think of the bench and Nuggets. The guy they have who can be streaky, we saw him so many times do damage with the Clippers, is Reggie Jackson. So this is, it's only two teams that can win the championship, but go on. I'm always up for a good Lillard, heroic talk.
Well, this is as it pertains to the Laker-Nugget series. When I think of... There's two guys that remind me of Steph Curry. Lillard, who's not much behind Steph. Then there's Jamal Murray, who to me is a poor man's Steph Curry or poor man's Lillard. If the bar is a 1 or 100 for Steph, I mean, Lillard's like a 95, right? And Jamal Murray is in the upper to mid-80s, right? But they have similar games. You know, Steph's more consistent. I think Murray is a little less consistent. But when he gets it going, it's the same kind of thing. Unlimited range, step back. He can just score 40. And like Nick Van Exel once said, shooters shoot. Right? Clay did it in that playing game, shooters shoot. Jamal Murray, shooters shoot. And his teammates were telling him, dude, keep shooting. We need you. And when it was the chance for the game winner, he nailed it. And just,
don't forget, I mean, this is amazing. Murray has never been an All-Star, but do you remember two or three years ago? I think it was 2021 in the series back when Mitchell was on. Donovan Mitchell was still on Utah. There was a series where both Mitchell and Jamal Murray each had 50-point games. Nobody's ever done that before in the same series. Two guys with the 250-point games. I think Kobe and one of the, probably Michael Jordan were the only two guys ever to have 50 points in two playoff games in one series, and they weren't playing each other. So, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean by poor man's, but, I mean, at the same time, when he's great, he is as good as anybody. So,
yeah, and it's a good factoid that he's never made an All-Star team. I didn't know that. Okay. Huh. Well, I was trying to make a parallel to the Sixers and the Lakers in their respective series because both had crushing losses on the road. And by the way, Michael Porter Jr. made a big three in transition that just vaulted the crowd. And then I think that just put him over the edge. And of course, Jokic down the stretch again once was almost unstoppable. But the Lakers had them, right? And so that's why I kind of get what you're saying, that this they might not recover, but again, this is the Nuggets. So that the Lakers, I didn't give the Lakers a chance to beat them anyway, right? But the fact that they had them and should have gone out of there at a minimum tied going back to Los Angeles. But now, they'll win one game in L.A. and then the Nuggets will win it in five. Agree with you on that. Also in the West, the Timberwolves up on the Suns, 2-0. Yeah, you know, the Suns are just not. They're just not that devastating. I don't know what to make of this team, right? Yeah, KD and Booker, two of the most lethal players, you know, especially on offense. My gosh, but are the Minnesota Timberwolves that good? Maybe the short answer is yes. Maybe the short answer is yes. Right?
I mean, Edwards is monstrous. Rudy Gobert has great games. Mike Conley is turning back the clock, and Karl Anthony Towns is looking like he's getting back to full health. I still think this is going to be a series, but I say Minnesota in six. Suns are just, they don't seem to have a killer instinct. You know, that's sort of what's there.
It's easy to look back, and I haven't really tracked it, what Ayton has done. I think, what is he, in Portland? But Bradley Beal or DeAndre Ayton, I would have stuck with Ayton and kept, you know, Durant and Booker and Gordon and built around that. But I don't know. With the T-Wolves, Jaden McDaniels, like, where'd this guy come from? Right? All of a sudden, he's a monster.
And oh, yeah. He was huge.
Yeah. It's just, and Anthony Edwards, that you mentioned, and he only had 15 points, but he had that great block at a clutch time. You mentioned Conley is still turning back the clock. Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah, this is a, they may not be all of the big household names, but there's enough of them.
But don't forget Naz Reid, who got named Sixth Man of the Year today. He's had some big moments.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Phoenix will take a game here, but I like Minnesota in five. And what didn't we cover? You know, what's kind of a yawner series for me is the Magic's and the Cavs. Cleveland's up 2-0.
No, yeah, I agree. That's the one I've watched the least of. Orlando still doesn't have much of an identity. They got Suggs. That's about the only guy I know from Gonzaga. And they're playing okay. They might win a game, but that one hasn't captivated me yet. And I still don't know exactly how good Cleveland is going to be in the next round. But I think it's safe to say they're going to advance to that.
Yeah, well, just to round out the Magic. I mean, they have Banchero, right? The number one pick overall a couple years ago out of Duke, and he's lived up to the number one pick. They got the Wagner brothers, but yeah, this team just doesn't. They just don't have enough. They just do not, and.
But
Cleveland's they're pretty well rounded. They got really good defense in Mobley and Allen, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, LeVert and Max Strus. This is a good team. They're gonna make some noise in the playoffs, but can they get past the Celtics? I don't think so. We didn't talk about the Bucks and the Pacers. Let's talk about that one.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing. I thought you were going to segue to Lillard. There's one other series too. We only got a couple of minutes. We have to mention both because there's one of the best. What I think is the best game so far in the playoffs is. But no, that's going to be a great series because Lillard just was godlike in Game One, and then yesterday Indiana showed that they are going to be part of this thing. Another one I think could easily go the distance.
Yeah, I think the Bucks will prevail, but. The Bucks are pretty unpredictable in the playoffs, and the Pacers with Siakam, who, what do you have, 36 points?
Oh, yeah, a monster game.
Yeah, 36 and 13 rebounds, and Haliburton, who, you know, he's a perennial all-star now, and, you know, there was a big win in Milwaukee. They blew him out, the Pacers did. So, oh yeah, Siakam in the second game, he had 37 and 11. So the guys had... He's averaging 36.5 points and 12 rebounds in the first two games. He's like, that's a turn back the clock story. And they're doing it with the, you know, not big scoring out of Haliburton so far. You know who's a really unsung key player for them? Their backup point guard, TJ McConnell. Remember him from Arizona?
Oh, I always loved him. Yeah.
Yeah, just a steadying.
He was in Lillard's shadow, but he, in his own right, he's one of the another good, great, like you say, poor man's point guard. Probably never been an all-star, but can be lethal at times.
So the real question is, when is Giannis coming back? Right? That's the question. You know, Middleton's there, Brooke Lopez, Lillard, Patrick Beverley, Connaughton, Bobby Portis Jr., Jay Crowder. But if there's no Giannis, they're not going to win this. I'm pegging the Bucks because I think Giannis comes back. Is there one other series we missed before we wrap this up?
Yes, indeed. I mean, game one between the Pelicans and OKC.
Oh, thank you.
Speaking of Gonzaga, guys, Chet Holmgren. You know, that was like, even though I watched the highlights the next morning, I didn't watch it live. I mean, that was gripping, I mean, an edge of your seat game. You don't know who was going to win that one. Game two just started.
Yeah. And
I mean, even without Zion. If they play like that, they could win. They could steal this series, and you know that's something. There again, we were talking about all the guys on that team.
Yeah, Zion's got a hamstring.
I got mixed up. I was so focused on that. You were talking about the other McConnell. I was talking about CJ McConnell.
Oh, McCallum. No. I was talking
McCallum.
About TJ McConnell.
You said McCallum. I was thinking of McConnell. That's why you were. I was saying, wait, he's not unsung. No. I'm sorry about that. No.
Okay, I didn't catch that. But anyway, Zion, hamstring, not sure when he comes back. A huge jolt if he does, right? But, you know, OKC won the first game. I think the Thunder got this series, even with Zion. And as far as Giannis, he's day-to-day. So I think he comes back and the Bucks win that series. Do you think the Pelicans can beat the Thunder?
Probably not, but I think it's capable. It's possible.
All right. We'll see. All right, what do you got for Claude?
Claude, LeBron, for whining about the refs. LeBron, to a certain degree, D'Angelo Russell both whined about the refs stealing the game from him. No, you blew the game. That's it.